Welcome into the Shooter's Touch podcast. We appreciate you listening. Whether this is your first episode or your 41st episode, thank you. The best thing you can do for us is let us know that you're listening, let us know that you care, give us a like, a follow, a mention, and most importantly, tell a friend or coworker about us. That's the best thing that you can do to kind of help support us as we continue to try to tell stories of the game of basketball around the state of Iowa. Tonight, we have a fun episode for you. It's one that's a little bit different, maybe not quite as basketball heavy, but we do have two guests, so we get into a lot of things. We have Graham Woodward and Nicole Miller on the podcast, both Drake Bulldog alum, and now happily engaged. And so we tell their story a little bit on how they got to Drake, their experience at Drake, and then we get into having a little fun with them, answering some questions about each other and seeing maybe what this relationship is like and what it's going to be like moving forward. So a lot of fun. Hope you enjoy it. Again, we appreciate you. This is the Shooter's Touch.
I got the Shooter's Touch. Can't nobody shoot like me. Fourth quarter down three, need a 2-and-1. Better call on me, better call on me. If you know you need a shooter, I'm ice cold like a cooler. Get you right though, I can tutor. This that mic flow, I'm a hooper. I got blue faces on blue faces.
Shooters, welcome into another episode of the Shooter's Touch podcast. Excited for our episode today. It's our first ever dual episode. We have two guests on, so twice the fun, hopefully, for you tonight. Really looking forward to it. We got Graham Woodward and Nicole Miller, both joining us on the podcast, both Drake Bulldogs, and now happily engaged. Guys, welcome to the Shooter's Touch.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited. Talked about a little off air, but recently sat down and chat with Reed Timmer, and you guys kind of came up in conversation. And so I said, you know what, we need to get both of them on the pod at the same time. We're gonna have a little fun. We want to get your guys' backstory as we always do, but then eventually have a little fun and play a little couples trivia, maybe see how well you guys know each other, and go from there. But before we get into it, those that don't know, so when did the engagement happen? It's fairly recently here, right?
It was. Nick, you want to talk about it?
You got it. You were the mastermind behind it.
I did. I had to work very hard at this. May 21st. So it was actually our fifth year anniversary. And it took me a while trying to figure out the date, what I was going to do, and just so many different options, right? So basically what I ended up doing, I had six or seven of her best friends down for, you know, that it was a Friday. So I had them all down. There is actually a parking garage right next to my apartment. So you walk maybe a block up a hill, and then there's this parking garage that overlooks the entire downtown of Des Moines. You see the whole skyline. And one day I was driving by and I'm like, ooh, that might be a good spot for this. Anyway, so I reached out to her friends because I needed to get Nicole from the street. There's a little more here, but from the street onto that parking garage so I could surprise her and propose to her on top of that parking garage. What I told her was we were going to go to dinner. So I had a fake reservation planned at this restaurant called Alba, which once again is right along. We were going to walk to the restaurant, walks right along right next to that parking garage. So I told her that. She had just gotten done with classes on that Friday, actually, and she had a 2-week break. She drove over to Des Moines. And that night, like I said, seven of her friends actually on top of that parking garage. I talked to them, you know, this is what I want to do. I need you guys to basically surprise Nicole and get her onto the parking garage. So the plan was we were going to walk to the restaurant, and then walking along the sidewalk, the parking garage is on our right. We're walking towards the restaurant, and then they'd be behind us. So basically what happened, start walking and they scream at her. They say, Nicole, Nicole. And she turns around, very surprised. She asks me she doesn't know who they are. She can't tell. She asks me, you know, who are those people? And I'm like, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. And there's these little stairs. She starts walking down the stairs towards towards the people and still can't quite tell who they are. Then about halfway there, she's like, oh, my best friends are here. She wasn't sure why. Okay. It didn't make much sense as to why they were there. And I knew that at that point. I'm like, okay, she's going to have an idea of something going on here. And, you know, she sees them, she starts hugging them. And I had the ring. I took it out. And as she's hugging them, I got down on one knee and she turned around and saw me. And here is the funniest piece was there's a church right behind, so right next to the parking garage, basically. And church bells, wedding bells actually started going off when I got down on one knee. And, you know, I proposed. She fortunately said yes. We had a photographer taking pictures, and as soon as I stood up off my knee, those wedding bells stopped. So that was kind of a coincidence. I had no idea. Now, her friends were asking me, did you plan that? I should have said yes in the moment. I told them I did not. But it was a fun time. And then ultimately, so both her parents and then some of my best friends back from Minnesota, Minneapolis, and then I had Reed as well, Casey and Corey, all down to Des Moines, and then some of her best friends and former basketball players as well, at Johnny's, so just a bar downtown. Surprised her. I told her we were going to go to dinner with those seven best friends of hers, and then we walked downtown, walked into Johnny's, and everyone was there, and then we enjoyed our night, and the rest is history. So now we're at June 29th. It's been a couple months. So.
There you go. That's great. And talk about coordination. I mean, for getting everything set up for you, man, I'll give you credit on that.
Yeah, it took a lot. And I thought there were numerous times when I was going to mess something up and I might say something and she might, you know, have an idea of, you know, why would he say that or what's going on here? And she had no idea. She honestly, you know, she told me she had no idea. So I took her at her word and, you know, it all worked out. I was really happy and I'm just happy it all went well. So
yeah. I was thoroughly impressed. If you knew Graham, he's not totally the planning type. So that was pretty impressive on his part, I will say.
That's great. So then what's the date? We have that set yet? When and where?
One would think I for school, because I'm in PA school, I start rotations next year. And so I'm on rotations nonstop from January through December. And we don't have like any breaks really at all. And so I also our rotations can be kind of anywhere. They're all different lengths. So, and we won't know that until October, November. We don't get our schedules until then. So as of now, we're kind of thinking more towards summer of 2023. So not ideal to wait an extra year, but it's just so hard with trying to plan it around who knows where I'll be and that kind of thing. So at least it's making now less stressful and feeling like we have to start planning immediately. But
absolutely allows you to enjoy it a little bit. It kind of sometimes it can all happen pretty fast. And so don't rush through it. Enjoy the steps while you can. So, and obviously school is a big thing. You got to get that taken care of. And I know how those schedules can kind of change and leave you a little bit up in the air. So, well, good. That might have to be part two then, post wedding, how things go. So we'll circle back in a couple
there
of years.
There we go.
And get that story. But what we like to do here at Shooter Touch is we like to get the backstory. And so, Nicole, I'll start with you. Growing up a little bit, did you play other sports? And then ultimately, when did you know that basketball might be your jam and the way you want to go?
Yeah, so I am from very, very small town Iowa. It's called Walker. I went to Northland. It would be the high school that I went to. So really just small, tight-knit community. And so kind of when you're from, I feel like especially now, you don't see as many people doing multiple sports, but just being from a small town, I growing up played all the sports. And even into high school, I ran track and cross country and then played basketball. And growing up, I mean, I just loved sports, had two younger brothers, were always super competitive, grew up like loving to run. And so I was just always kind of the fast girl. And so I loved running. And that was my thing for a while. And then as I got older, I mean, I played just school basketball. We didn't really have, I feel like AAU is a lot more prevalent now, but just being from a small town, we just always played with just growing up in grade school, just like school ball. And so I did that. And then once I got into high school after my freshman year, I really started to kind of shift gears and where I loved running. I kind of really started loving just like basketball. I loved the game. I loved just being a part of a team. I had the most fun playing basketball. And so I kind of really started to want to focus more on that. And so still obviously ran track and cross country all throughout, but then I actually started playing for All Iowa Tech out of Ames, which I know a couple girls that have been on here also played there, very well known in the state and now around the country. But so I played there, and that's just really when I knew I wanted to play basketball, and so kind of threw myself all into that and put a lot of time into that, and ultimately when picking college, knew I wanted to stay fairly close to home. That was important to me. And Drake was actually my very first offer, and I went there on a visit and I committed immediately. It was perfect. It felt right. And so I had a very, very short and sweet recruiting process, which I personally think was very nice. But yeah, that's kind of my backstory.
I don't know what it is about Drake, but everyone that we've had on the podcast has said that they've pretty much committed almost on site, like after their first visit. Did you come for the relays? Like, what was your visit like? Do you remember?
Yeah. So I growing up had, in like high school had been here, 'cause I ran at the relays, in high school. So I had been to like Drake's campus quite a few times just to run. And then state track obviously, was in Des Moines as well. But my visit, it was the summer, the last summer of AAU. So I can't, either before junior year or senior year, I can't remember. I think before my junior year, came here for camp, elite camp. And then they talked to them after, they had me come back the next day for a visit. And it's actually, it was funny. It was right when Shivers practice facility was like being built. So like went in there with our hard hats and all of that, walked around campus, and then just sat in Jenny's office. She kind of laid out her plan and what she envisioned for our program. And I mean, I was sold immediately. Not that she even had to like sell it. It was just so genuine and so real. And I think any Drake women's basketball would say the exact same. And it's pretty cool to see that long ago, her kind of vision and what she laid out, and we did that and more. So that's pretty cool looking back on it now.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we'll get into the Drake years here shortly. But you talked about making a big decision. I mean, big decision, especially at the time, was making that commitment to All Iowa Tech. Obviously, making the drive over, now would be a lot easier. Obviously, they have a facility in Coralville. That would have made things a lot easier for you.
Right, right.
But obviously, making that time and financial commitment, come over to Iowa Tech, you knew. I mean, you were committed to basketball. And so what was that like for you, as far as, playing for Attack?
Yeah. So it's actually funny. I mean, 'cause no one, definitely no one from my high school had ever played at Attack. No one had really even heard of it. And I, once I like started going through high school, and I was like, I want to play division one basketball. That's my goal. That's my dream. How am I going to do it? And, quite a few girls in my graduating class had all like already committed. And I'm like, how are all these people already committed? Like, I don't even know. And they all played for All Iowa Tech. So I was like, Mom, Dad, there's this AAU program in Ames. Like, I have to do it. Everyone there is like committing. And they're like, are you kidding? Like, no, absolutely not. And I was like, please, please. And so then my dad obviously like looked into it, talked with my high school coach. And so they reached out to Dixon Jensen, and it was actually already after like their tryouts had already been done. Their teams had already been set for that last year. And so he my parents were like, do you really want to do this? And I was like, yes, yes, yes. And so Dixon actually had me out to, he has a gym like out by his house. And I just did a little individual workout. That was my tryout. And I guess after that, the rest was history, but it was such an incredible experience. It was definitely nothing I had ever experienced, just the competitiveness. I mean, the practices were very different from my Northland high school basketball practices. Nothing against that. It's just a totally different environment. I mean, everyone is just so competitive. Everyone's so good there. And everyone just holds you to such a high standard. It was definitely intimidating at first, to say the least, but just throughout the summer, it was really fun. And now looking back, I'm like, how did my body even handle that? I feel so old now because I was still running track. So I would have track meets throughout the week. Sometimes my dad, we would drive for a random practice during the week. All weekend would be in Ames at practices, tournaments. Like, it was just crazy. And it's insane thinking back now. And then even A tournaments, to think to play 3 basketball games in a day. Gosh, I played pickup last week and I died after playing a game to 11. It's definitely very different now. But no, my experience at Attack was great. I'm still keep in touch with a lot of my teammates that I played with, a lot of ones that were younger. It was so great to know different girls coming into Drake younger than me that I just had connections with through Attack. Still talk to Randy. He does radio for us. And so just all those relationships, it's really fun to go back randomly and see everyone.
Yeah, it's quite the program. And as you mentioned, it prepares girls. I think it's a big reason on why you're seeing the high level of girls basketball in our state at the high school level, mm-hmm. and then ultimately at the college level too. There's a reason why all the colleges, you know, Drake, Iowa State have all been so good, and they're keeping those local kids. And that a big credit of that goes to all Iowa Tech and what they're doing. Yeah. And so, well, perfect. All right, so Graham, looking on your side of things growing up, a little bit different. I relate more to the small town Iowa because that's how I grew up. But being up from this in the cities, what was childhood like for you? Did you play other sports growing up and in high school? And when did you ultimately know that basketball might be the way?
Yeah, so, you know, bigger school. Graduating class of 700. So it was, you know, night and day what Nicole's talking about, right? 48 to 700. But yeah, as I grew up, I mean, I played everything. So I play, you know, hockey's huge in Minnesota. Played hockey for 3 years and then I decided, nope, not for me. I played baseball for 2 years and it just didn't do it for me. It was a little slow. And then I was a big soccer, football, and basketball guy. So did that throughout, you know, growing up. And then when I got to high school, I played golf for 3 years. I was just on the JV team, so nothing special, but that was my freshman, sophomore, junior year. But so for basketball, you know, throughout my childhood, I was good at it. I liked it. You know, when you're good at something, you like it, right? And, you know, I just continued to progress, get better and better. Got to high school. So Edina High School, we are known as one of the most storied hockey high schools in Minnesota. So I think we have the most state championships in Minnesota. So we are not known for basketball at all. Sophomore year, I started playing significant minutes. My sophomore year, I played a little bit my freshman year, but from sophomore through junior to senior, we actually we had a winning record in our conference. Our conference is one of the toughest conferences in the state. I think it was a winning record in our conference for the first time in 17 years or something. We got to state the first time in 17 years, my senior year. We finally beat Hopkins, which is another high school, really well-known story program for basketball. We finally beat them. I think it was the first time in 17 years as well, my senior year. So we were fortunate. I played with Reggie Lynch. So I know some people know Reggie. He played at Minnesota, one of my best friends. He was on the team my junior and senior year. But, you know, throughout, I enjoyed basketball a lot. And I got better and better, like I said. And then my AAU, obviously different from all Iowa Tech. I played AAU from fifth grade on up. Actually, I mean, it might have been third grade on up. But just basketball, basketball, basketball. And so I think it was, I was on, you know, what, six, seven, eight different AAU programs. And then when I got to my 15, 16, 17U level, I played for a program called Pump and Run. They're now called D1 Minnesota. So I don't know if you're familiar, but my 17U year, I didn't have many offers. I, you know, being a shorter white point guard, it's harder, right? You don't get as much, you know, you don't get as much attention from coaches and scouts and whatnot. So I think my senior year, so that 17U year, I played well. There was a lot more exposure to coaches throughout the month of July. And that's when I was able to rack up more offers. And then ultimately, that's how I decided, you know what, I'm going to go play basketball in college, because I didn't know, you know, it's my favorite sport. I didn't know if I was going to get offers. But that's when I first got my first Division I offer, was in July. And then ultimately I went on, I think it was four different visits for out of high school. So a little different than Nicole. And I ultimately picked Penn State coming out of high school, so for my freshman year. And then I was out there for 1 year. And what had happened was I ultimately wanted to transfer. And then Coach Jack Letty, who was at Drake, we had a connection because he was at Gonzaga when I was coming out of high school. So we had talked prior. But he was the first one to call me after I got my release from Penn State. And we talked a lot. We talked often. And, you know, I went on a few different visits and, you know, ultimately came back, decided on Drake, and the rest is history. So, you know, I've been in Des Moines now for 6 years, I believe. But yeah, it's, you know, that's it in a nutshell. I know that was kind of long winded, but that's basketball.
Yeah, no, that's great. You kind of undersold your high school career a little bit, which I expected you would do, but heck of a player, obviously. I think you leading scorer for your high school team, several honors, up for Mr. Basketball, McDonald's All-American. So yeah, you undersold that a little bit, but obviously playing up there and against the competition that, as you mentioned, that you had, definitely, I would say, probably helped hone those skills. And playing for a program, obviously, like Pump and Run has a lot to do with that in the summers as well. But so coming out of high school, though, I feel like that's the kind of recruitment when you're still trying to figure things out. Obviously, we can't all be like Nicole and just know as soon as we step on campus that that's where we want to go. So what was it initially, though, about Penn State that that took you out that direction?
Yeah, I think so. I wanted to play at the biggest place I could. There were, you know, different offers from Power Five conferences. Another one was Washington State, where I went out there. Butler was another one. Now that's not a Power Five conference, but bigger programs, better programs. Gonzaga was one, but that wasn't quite the right fit at the time. And so Penn State, you know, I went out on an official visit, and it was a special visit. They kind of roll out the red carpet for you. They do everything. It's a football weekend. You know, that's something special. You know, I've never experienced something like that before. You know, talking to the coach, it was Pat Chambers back then. I liked what he sold. I felt like he was truthful. You know, he was tough, but like he was true. I can deal with a coach who's honest with me. If they're hard on me, fine. But if you're honest, then I appreciate that. So I like the coaching staff. Like I said, Big Ten program. And it felt like they really wanted me. So it felt like I was a good fit for them. There was actually also, my name's Ross Travis. He was actually, so Chaska, Minnesota was another suburb around Edina. And he committed there 2 years prior to me. So we had a little connection there. So the Minnesota connection, I had talked to him as well. He was a junior when I came in as a freshman. But like I said, main thing, I wanted to play as big as I could. And I felt like I can compete at that level. And I was able to do so my freshman year. So
yeah,
that's why.
Good. So then as we look to Drake and choosing Drake, for both of you guys, Nicole, I'll start with you. What do you remember? We talked about All Iowa Tech and obviously kind of preparing you, but first, let's call it 2 weeks on campus. Biggest adjustment. Obviously, we all know basketball at college level is a complete full-time job. Oh, by the way, you still have to be a student. Oh, you're living on your own. Oh, you got a lot of stuff to figure out. So you get to campus here in Des Moines. And what was some of the biggest adjustments that you remember the first couple weeks on campus?
Gosh, this was a while ago. You're making me think. I would say probably, I mean, fairly obvious would just be the first couple of weeks, if I remember, is just like nonstop workouts plus little kids basketball camp for like the first 3 weeks. So it's pretty long days because you have either little kids camp for the first 3 or 4 hours in the morning, and then you have workouts in the afternoon. And it's not just like a hour and a half high school basketball practice. It's like just the pace of the game, the intensity of the game, having to just show up and be really good every single day. And then, I mean, on top of that, obviously you're new, right? So you don't really know anyone yet. The team, I mean, you're coming into a team that already is super close and has this great bond, and you have to just kind of just, I guess the hardest part for me was just kind of to figure out my role and like finding my way. Not that it was hard by any means, because the team was great, but just when you're put in a new environment with completely new people, completely new schedule, like you said, you still have school, and then just like lifting all the time, which I barely ever lifted in high school or ever. So that was quite an adjustment too. I weighed very little and had very little muscle on me coming into college. So that was another adjustment. Yep. But I think it's just important too to just remember those feelings, especially in college, and remembering how that felt coming in new. So then when you do get older and new freshmen come in, you can be like, okay, it's not easy. How can I make this the easiest possible for them? Because I mean, for anyone, I'm a fairly social person, and it's still pretty terrifying.
So Graham, your situation a little bit different because you got to skip out on some of the newcomer stuff. You experienced that at Penn State. So when you got to Drake, you have a little bit of that under your belt, but again, things are different. You're coming into a situation that's kind of already started and trying to figure out where you're going to fit in. So what do you remember, and what were some of the adjustments that you had to make pretty quickly?
Oh, I mean, I second a lot of what Nicole said. Coming in, I mean, honestly, I'm nervous. You're anxious, you're ready to go. But the fitting in piece is hard. I mean, doing anything new, anyone, this is a little different, right? This is kind of a bigger scope of it, and going to school and being, you know, a basketball player and being with a group, doing anything new, you're outside of your comfort zone. And I think I always appreciate that, because over time, when you push yourself outside of your comfort zone, things start to work and you start to figure it out. I mean, I think one big thing with the schedule. So like Nicole said, when we were waking up early, we have, camp meeting in the morning, and then we have camp from 8 to 11, with the second through fifth graders, and then you get a break, and then 12 to 3 you have camp with the older people, and then you have to lift, and then you work out right after, and then you get done at say 7, and then you got to eat dinner, and school hasn't quite started yet. But then you fall asleep within a half an hour, and then you wake up again and do it all over again. That's difficult. That's where your life is basketball, coaching, lifting. That's your life. So getting used to that. Now that's over the span of a month. And then you start to kind of get into a flow when school starts. And I think the biggest thing is you figure out how to fit in. It might take a little while, but that's a hard part, is fitting in, finding your place within the team. And then over time, I mean, it starts to flow, and you start to get used to what you're doing. You start to get used to traveling. You start to get used to your game schedule. You start to get used to how you're going to do your homework, how you're going to lift, when you're going to practice, when you're going to work out. It's all scheduled for you. And then, you know, time management skills, you figure it out. And that's the thing. It might be nerve wracking coming in, but like I said, you figure it out and everything's okay at the end, but it's a transition. It's all new. So, but I really enjoyed it. I really did.
Let me ask you this. So coming in and having to sit out that first year, what was it like to put in all the same amount of work, but not get the rewards of being able to step out on the floor?
That was difficult. I actually, so it was up until, it might've been November, doing workouts, doing everything with the guys. And I think it was the first, I forget, it might have been the first couple games that had started. And then I actually rolled my ankle really badly. I had rolled my ankle numerous times over the span of my career, and then I rolled it really badly in one practice. I had to go to the doctor, and they had checked it out, and I had numerous ligaments that were torn and one that was really loose. So there's three ligaments in there. So I had to get surgery. So they went in, they tightened up all those ligaments. So I was in a cast for 2 weeks on the little stroller. And then I had a boot for 2 weeks, and then I had a bunch of rehab. So that lasted probably 2 to 3 months of the season. So that kind of got my mind off of it a touch. We decided to do that just because I was redshirting, right? We might not have done it if I wasn't. But yeah, I mean, you get antsy, you know, I got antsy to get back to practice after that happened. So get back to practice. And then I can't tell you that feeling when the next year rolls around, you play in your first exhibition game or you play in your first team scrimmage. Like it's hard to explain, but you're just so antsy and anxious and go against someone else versus your own guys every single day. And then, you know, you get the crowd, the environment, all that. So
no, that's I would guess that if there's any time to get an injury, it would be during that year. Cause like you said, you kind of almost, you're not missing anything. And you kind of appreciate then the little things, as opposed to being like, man, practice sucks, cause all I'm doing is practicing, you know? And so, well, good. All right, Nicole. So, you come in, freshman year, actually your whole career, we won't go year by year and make you kind of pull stuff from every season, but, in your career at Drake, you guys won a shit ton of basketball games. You talked about Jenny trying to kind of lay things out, obviously had a ton of success. You were a big part of that, you know, as a shooter, defender, and passer going through your career at Drake. But what game sticks out the most in your 4 years? You had a lot of them. You had a lot of big games. You guys played in the tournament. Is there maybe one that you had individually that you remember, and then one as a team accomplishment that maybe, or the way that it went down or the way that it ended, or the crazy way in which that you had to get to the game? What are at least two of the games, maybe one for you and one for the team, that you're going to always remember?
Gosh, there were so many good ones. I would have to say, team-wise, two pop up. I won't go into details of either. It'll take too long. But the two that pop up, one was my sophomore year. We were at home against UNI. If we won conference, that would have been the first time. Finally, we like completely won conference. It was a breast cancer game that we had like the most people there in the NAP that have been for years. It was packed. If you've been to the breast cancer game, everyone's in pink. The student section was like crazy. It was like jam packed. Like, I'm pretty sure we started the game, I think combined us and you and I had like scored 6 points the first quarter, because everyone was like so nervous because there were so many people there. But we ended up in one, and all the students stormed the court, even though we were supposed to win. But it was just like, it was just such a cool, I will never forget that feeling. And it's kind of sad. It's not sad, but it's, so we won the conference for like the first time. And then like the years after, we just expected to win. And so then when we would like win, it was just like, okay. But like that first time feeling, and same with later that year, winning the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament for the first time, like that year was just so special because it was also the first time we'd gone undefeated and like all of these firsts. It's just like an unreal feeling. It's sad that not that the times after that were less exciting, but it just wasn't like the first time.
It's lonely at the top, you know, that's what happens. You climb, you get to the top, and then all of a sudden you're just like, oh, this is what we're supposed to do. Like, this is,
yeah, but it's more stressful then because then you have even more pressure.
It is. But, And I will know, I've been to one of those the cancer games with the pink out. It's really neat. I mean, obviously partial to the nap anyway. I love the environment there, but those games are a lot of fun with the t-shirts and your guys' jerseys and stuff too.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. It just means a little more too, which is awesome. And then I would say the second team one was when we had my senior year, our Thanksgiving tournament was in Vancouver and we, really tough tournament. Notre Dame was there. They were number one in the country. South Carolina was there. They were number 12. Like everyone there was really, really good. And we ended up in won our first game against Rutgers and then played South Carolina, beat them. And they were ranked, like I said, ranked top. They were, I think, 12th. I'm pretty sure they were 12, which was just like the highest team that like rated team that we had beat. And so like that was just really, really cool. And then just even getting to play like Notre Dame the next game, just like really cool to play that type of competition and like to now watch like WNBA games and be like, oh, I played them. It's pretty cool. So that game was just super fun. It's so fun to go on those trips just with your team and with families and like to get to spend that extra time together. So I would say that was my other team.
Was that a Skylar Diggins Notre Dame team? Was she
on? No, that was a Rike Agumo, however you say your last name. Okay. I should know it. Yes. Okay. Who else was on that team? Brianna Turner, Jackie Young. So like those three, they're all in the league.
Yeah.
Jeff Shepard, she's in the league. Yeah. So it was crazy, but it was really, really fun. And then I would say individually, this one probably just stands out because it was the last game of my career, which is sad. But when we played in Iowa City against Mizzou, the outcome was absolutely devastating. But I just felt like I truly put it all out there. And like personally, to end on like that note, at least gave me a little peace of mind. The result does not and how it ended does not. I still can't even think about it. But I would say probably that one.
That's
didn't a good have choice. Too many.
I was looking at the career stats. I thought I was like, she's either gonna say Valparaiso or Missouri. I didn't know which one, but Valpo was your highest. You had 15 against Valpo. That's why I thought maybe that would be one, but. But yeah, that that game against Missouri is a good one too. Like you said, didn't end the way you wanted to, but performed well and kind of like you said, with it being the last one, left it all out there. So, all right, Graham, same question then for you. What do you actually, hold on, before I get to you, Graham, I do have one thing for Nicole that I got to ask. You shot 65% from the free throw line your senior year.
That's not good.
No, what happened?
You see, some would call that being a head case, which let me tell you, I was really good at that in college. That's pretty much the only answer. Probably lack of focus is what Jenny would say. I would probably say I was a head case. I don't know. Graham, do you have a better answer?
I'd say head case.
I did practice them.
Well, here, just to give the listeners a little bit of perspective on this and why I say that, and two reasons why I say it. One, because obviously I've seen you shoot the basketball plenty of times and you have a great looking shot. And so there's no reason you should ever shoot 65%. But if I look at your percentages, freshman year, 74%, sophomore year, 83%, junior year, 79%. I mean, these are all respectable numbers. And then 65% your senior year.
Yeah. You should, if only there was a wide open layup percentage my senior year, that was probably about 12 because I also, I could only make hard shots. But yeah, like I said, kind of a bit of a head case, but What do? I had fun.
that's great. I just, like I said, I like your shot. And so I was surprised of just going through the numbers and being like, man, how does that happen?
But yeah, you see if only you would have seen me in practice, my shot was golden in practice.
Oh, what, one of
and
those.
And when I play horse against Graham, that is when it was at.
Yes, it's very in true. Games. She's not an in-game shooter, that's for sure.
No. Well, in high school I was.
You getting her head a little bit, I guess. But
what all right, do you
So Graham, before I go to you, you got a little bit of a heads up on the game, so you can be thinking through those. But a little bit different time, a little bit different era for you at Drake, and where the program was at. For lack of better terms, we'll call it a complete rebuild at that point, is what was going on. A close fan that I was talking to actually last week called it the dark ages of Drake basketball. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far. But similar. So, again, shooter is what you came in to do, role player, kind of be out there making plays, distributing the basketball, doing your thing. Safe to say that maybe Bradley is your favorite team that you ever played against in the Mo Valley? What do you think?
I played pretty well against Brad. I struggle to remember a lot of them, honestly. I know there were, I don't know, I might have gotten my career high two or three different times against, I know Bradley was one of them, maybe Abilene Christian or something.
So it's pretty yeah. glaring when I look at this career highs coming against Bradley in points, minutes, field goals made, three-pointers made, three-pointers attempted, free throws made, mm-hmm. free throws attempted, and steals. And so it feels like that's why I was like, I wonder if Bradley's his favorite team to play.
I would have to agree. Now I don't know if their arena was not my favorite place to play, I'll tell you that. Now, I mean, I might have played well there, but their arena a little iffy out there. But
we'll get to that. We'll save that for rapid fire. That's our main question. We got to find out what arena. But
that's okay. Yep.
So real quickly, before we get into, I do want to know, so obviously coming in, you experienced a coaching change. What was the coaching change like for you coming through and having to kind of adapt a little bit mid season? Cause it was eight games, right? In which that Coach Giacoletti moved on. But so what was that like in kind of in experiencing that with everything else that you have going on as a player?
Yeah. I mean, one big thing, you know, I experienced as a player was four different head coaches throughout my career. And I think, you know, having a coaching change after seven or eight games, it's weird. It's hard to deal with. You don't know what's going to happen. There's so much unknown. And, you know, you try to come together as a team and you try to rally around one another as a team because, you know, when Coach Rutter came in, we loved Coach Rutter. We really did, you know, and we were excited for him as an interim great. There's just, you know, it's different having, you know, your former assistant coach become your interim head coach. And there's a lot of different aspects that come with that. And I'd say that the hardest part is trying to change. Basically, we changed our philosophy, how we played, and, you know, doing that and making sure everything meshes and then trying to move forward with that. It's hard. It was really hard because we struggled my sophomore year, my redshirt sophomore year, and then didn't have a great, you know, junior or redshirt junior year as well. But, you know, we tried to figure it out, but ultimately it wasn't quite there until I got to my senior year when when Nico did become our new head coach. And I think there's just a lot of adjusting that has to happen. And there's a lot, every player has their own role and you have to mesh together some way, somehow to be effective against, you know, any team you're playing. And so it was all, I love my team. I would not change it for the world. I would not change my experience for the world. That's how it happened. And I feel like everything happens for a reason. So the main thing here is, you know, we had to adjust and figure it out on the fly, and it wasn't easy. But ultimately I felt like, you know, being, I think it was tied third in the Valley my senior year, we were able to start to ramp something up there. And we were finally able to find a little success with our team. So, you know, it's like I said, once again, it was hard, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah. You mentioned obviously your senior year kind of, you know, similar to with Nicole, maybe not exactly the way that you wanted it to end up, but definitely had a lot to build on. And ultimately what has put Drake, I think, on the trajectory that they're on now was that year that obviously Nico came in and, you know, you and Reed as seniors, and what you guys were able to do to essentially kind of pull out of the hole that you were in. And start things on the right path. And so hopefully that's something, yeah, that you definitely enjoyed and felt good about. And like I said, if you want to go ahead and take some credit for the way that those Bulldogs are playing now, I'll give it to you all day. But so looking back, games that you're going to remember, like similar questions. So both on a team basis, maybe the way it came out. We talked a little bit about Bradley, but was there something else for you individually, a game that you're going to kind of always remember?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of forgettable games. And I think
we know.
You know. Yeah, thanks, Nick. Appreciate that. I mean, like you said, you know, I had individual games where I played well. I had individual games where I did not play well. And us as a team, my senior year is what I like to point out. And that's where we had the success. And we finally tried, we started to figure things out. I think, now that I think about it, one huge game was it was at Missouri State my senior year. Now this is when Reed hit that buzzer beater at, you know, then, or the huge logo at half court. And, you know, I hit a three right before him when I came in, and then he was able to hit that. And I think that was a big momentum changer for us as a group. I just remember the locker room after, you know, that those are the best times after a win on the road. You celebrate in the locker room with your team, right? You're going nuts, right? You're just jacked up. It's a fun bus ride home or flight home, whatever it is. Those are always the best wins, in my opinion. So I think, you know, we also, when we beat UNI at home, it's always fun to beat UNI, because we struggled for a while against them. And so when we beat them at home, that was a pretty packed house. Those are the main ones, I'd say, you know. And then, you know, unfortunately we just couldn't quite break through in the tournament, you know, and just be these last second things or these tight games every single time we're in the tournament, and then we get bounced the first round. But it was, you know, there were plenty of good times, good experiences, good games, and then also not so great times. But that's what I'd say is, you know, there were a few memorable ones in there.
Well, and so looking at the schedule then to your senior year, you ended up, so you played Bradley like three times in a month, mm-hmm. basically what it was. I mean, it's crazy looking at this, because obviously you played them last game of the season, in which I think that was the game you balled out and hit 22, and then turned around and played them in the first round of the tournament. Like you said, obviously didn't go the way that you had wanted it to, but yeah, that's just, it's crazy on how that works. Like I said, that senior year though, that's something that you should be proud of. And like you said, for all of us as basketball players, what we remember most is that experience and the time we have with our teammates. But I got to ask you guys, especially because Adam's not with us on the podcast tonight, you and I. So playing you and I, Nicole, obviously for you, you're a little bit closer. You kind of understand the rivalry a little bit more maybe, or appreciated it. But what was it like? What were those games? Graham, you kind of brought one up. Well, actually, both of you talked about them. So is that something that you kind of circle on the calendar? Were those fun, both home and away?
Oh, for sure. I definitely – that was, like, probably our biggest rivalry in conference, like, for sure. Them and Missouri State. But like you said, there's just something about that in-state rivalry. I played AAU with, like, three or four of the girls on the team, and you just, a lot of the girls that go there are from Iowa. So like, you definitely either know of them or know them. And so, yeah, I mean, we would always get so hyped for those games. Well, my freshman year started off bad. I think we lost to them three times. Yeah, we lost all three times and then didn't lose to them again. But it was huge. And I even think we met them in the conference tournament like 2 years in a row too. So like, it's just, it was always, you just get so excited for them. It was so fun. Obviously would rather play in the Napa any day. But going there wasn't too bad either, because we would always have so many fans travel there. Like, I remember we would always have a huge section. We'd have more blue there than purple. And so that's always fun to see too. And that's why, I mean, I'll say it till the day I die that like, Drake fans are better than any fans. They travel well, they're great. But yeah, no, definitely one of the games that we would circle per se on the, especially during conference time.
Yeah, that's a, it's a fun one. You got to have those. I mean, just creates a little bit more buzz, a little bit more excitement. Like you said, it's kind of the, you know, everyone in the state kind of rallies around that a little bit, notices what's going on. So that's a fun one. We always look forward to it as fans on this side of things too. So,
And as players, I mean, once you get in the conference, you play them year after year, you kind of, you know what they're going to do to an extent, you know how they play. So it's always kind of fun that way too, because they also know you. So it's like, who can beat who? We all know what we're all going to do. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Graham, you were still, so you still got to experience the Big Four, right? I'm trying to think, I can't remember when that, so the Big Four for you, obviously not being from the state, I know it kind of takes a little bit of the shine off for you, but what was your experience, I guess, with the Big Four, and how did you kind of enjoy, you know, playing at Wells Fargo, and then obviously, you know, rotating between getting to Iowa or Iowa State?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun opportunity to be able to play, you know, either the, you know, Iowa State or Iowa. You know, it's always Wells Fargo when it's packed like that. It's always fun playing against huge crowds, right? Or playing in front of huge crowds. And I think, you know, being able to play, you know, that type of competition, you know, a lot of NBA players on those teams. And it's just fun being able to play some of the best. And so, you know, we unfortunately didn't perform great at the Big Four, but like I said, being able to go up against the likes of, you know, Monte Morris, George Niang, you know, there's way too many I can, you know, to point out. But, you know, it's always fun playing against the best and playing in front of a packed house is what I'd say.
Yeah, you'd definitely can't beat that. It kind of gets you going. It's something that you'll love and remember, that's for sure. So, all right, guys. It's the time of the program. I want to get in. We want to learn a little bit more about you guys as a couple. I got a few questions for you, going through some of them answered by each other, some of them together, as your relationship goes along, because this is kind of why we wanted to have you both on, and the excitement that comes from two players that obviously are now happily engaged. So first question, I'll let you guys, unless I tell you who, you guys can kind of decide who wants to answer it. But so how'd you meet?
Nick, go ahead.
I can go. So obviously coming to Drake summer, pretty much, I mean, some Drake teams are there, but pretty much it's just like men's and women's basketball are there doing workouts, camps. Obviously there's Shivers, so you're seeing everybody. And honestly, like the men's and women's basketball team, that's a great thing about Drake, is it is a small school, and like we were really good friends. And so our teams were super, super close. Especially after we started dating, then our teams were even closer, and just like always hanging out. So I would say, I mean, we just met, I feel like there isn't like one specific time where we like met and it was like, oh my gosh, this is it.
It was love at first sight, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, for sure. I was too anxious and worried about what I was even going to eat for my next meal my first summer to even think, but no, I mean, we were just like friends first. Just our teams were friends. We'd all hang out. And then obviously the rest is history.
Right.
But, well, I wish, you know, we should probably just make up a story. I wish I had a better story, but I really don't.
Well, it actually leads in well to my next question is, so then what was your actual first official date? Remember?
Gateway, Graham, right? Do you remember? Because I know I do.
I think it was Gateway Market, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You probably remember it better than I do, but...
Yeah, it was my birthday.
Oh, wow. It was my birthday. That's a big move and there.
I did a great job, didn't I?
We had the, we had like the athlete banquet in the morning, and then he took me to a birthday lunch at Gateway because that was my like favorite restaurant. Yep. So we went there for lunch. That was our, I would say, first official date.
Yeah,
going somewhere anyways.
I like it. No, that's good. That's bold on you, because if you did it wrong on the birthday first date, man, you put a lot of pressure on yourself.
I know, no question.
Well, so then let's have a little bit more fun. Then, what was your worst date? Something go wrong. Maybe not anyone's fault, but maybe you have something bad happen.
Worst car breakdown.
We have a bad
raining.
Did you spill something sometime?
I do that a lot. Gosh, I don't know if
that's a good question.
Like if we did, it would be like in my mind. I wouldn't have forgot it, or we wouldn't have. It could have been so bad we wouldn't be engaged.
There you go.
Maybe other. Go ahead.
No, you. What?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if there were times where you got very uncomfortable and then you just stopped talking and made everything awkward.
Never.
That's just normal stuff. I was hoping for some big fall, but she didn't have it.
She had a good story.
All right, so
I can't think of one.
Let me get a little bit more specific then. Graham, what would Nicole's ideal date be? If you could, no restrictions on time or money or anything, what would the ideal date be to take Nicole on?
Well, I would say she's a homebody is what I'd say. But she loves outside. Yeah, this is what I'd say. If we could have frozen pizza with, let's say, so potato chips, Ruffles with Dean's French onion dip, and that's all we had. And if I made her two or three different pizzas and gave her chips and French onion dip, and we did it maybe on my rooftop at, 7 p.m. when it's 75, breezy and sunny, that she would like that. She wouldn't, you, Nick? You'd like that.
Are you kidding me? You just got unlimited money, unlimited time, and you just told him what we did. 2 nights ago.
Exactly. And
I was thinking you were gonna like take me on an airplane to like Europe and we were gonna go somewhere for the night.
That's not personable. You'd like to go to France and stay in an apartment for one night. But yeah, of course, anyone would want to do that.
That's great. It's simple.
I like frozen pizza.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. All right, Nicole. So what's Graham's worst habit?
Oh. I can only name one. Just kidding. I'll name a couple.
Ooh.
One, he just like leaves things everywhere. Like, not bad. Like, I want to say he's messy, but like, he just like, he watches me put all the dishes in the dishwasher, knows that it's dirty, and then he'll just like 5 minutes later be eating a bowl of cereal and then just set the bowl or leave it on the counter or set it in the sink. Or he just leaves clothes kind of just like laying randomly. So that would be probably one. Two, he like chews. He like just always like bites and picks and chews on his like fingers and hands. And sometimes I just can't. And
I only asked for one, so I think
I thought you said top three.
Oh no, that's great though. I can relate though, and I, unfortunately, especially probably the leaving the
stuff laying around a little bit, I think my wife would be right there with you on that.
Ooh, so. Also quick, when I'm like trying to be in a hurry and I'm like, okay, we gotta hurry, then I swear he goes 10 times slower on purpose. That might be number one.
That's good.
And he knows he does it.
Take our time.
I like that. All right, Graham, what's Nicole's biggest fear?
Snakes. 100%. If you put any type of snake in front of her, she would scream. There was one time we were actually down. I wasn't with her, but we were down in on Sanibel Island. My parents have a condo on Sanibel Island, and we were down there just us two for a few weeks over COVID. And forget where I was. I wasn't at the condo. I was driving somewhere, and she was laying out by the pool. And I think she was doing homework or something. I can't remember. And there was this little itty bitty garden snake.
It was
little.
Huge.
No. This little itty bitty garden snake that was just slithering along. And it came and she saw it, I don't know what, 20, 30 feet away from you?
And no, like three. It was coming for me.
No, you said you saw it 20, 30, and then it kept coming closer and closer. And so then. And then after that, she picks up all her stuff that she has. She runs to the condo. I'm not going to be there for about a half an hour. And she just sits next to the condo door, like almost sucking her thumb in fear. And she was scared because there was an enclosed, it was like an enclosed door. What am I looking for? Screen door, enclosed screen door. And there's no way a snake can get in there. There's nothing that can get in there. She calls me. She's like, I'm so afraid the snake's going to get in. It's going
to get in. Well, he had the keys and the condo was locked. So I just had to sit and wait.
It's snakes. In fear. 100%.
That's okay. Yeah. No, that's good. All right. So you kind of hinted at it a little bit earlier, but right now, so current right now, we're not talking in season. No warm up, you know, maybe a few layups. Who's going to make more out of 10 free throws right now?
Free throws?
Yeah.
I would still say me. Even though you totally dissed me on my horrific free throw percentage.
You can beat right me now. In horse. You can beat me in horse, but I don't think you can beat me on free throws. I was a better free throw shooter than you.
Yeah, but right now, I saw you shoot last week during pickup. Right now, I would make more free throws.
Well, I hadn't shot in 6 months.
You said right now.
I did say right now. I do want you guys to go out right now.
Fine. I mean,
this weekend. Find a hoop.
Okay. Maybe we'll take a video and send it in.
There you go.
You can see.
We'll put it out. All right. So walk back on campus. Both of you guys together. Who gets recognized first?
Me.
No way!
From fans or students?
I'm sorry. I don't like men's basketball gets more. Wait. Specific.
Right now? Fans or like students?
Students aren't going to know who you. What do you mean?
Either way.
I was way more social than either. You, Graham. So I was much more social than Graham.
So, Brian, what's the question?
Well, I want to know, walking on campus. I mean, maybe there's some fans there's going to be some students. There's going
to,
you know.
If you go to a men's game, more people will recognize Graham. If you go to a women's game, more people will recognize me. If you're walking into the local store, probably Graham. If I'm walking around Drake students, probably.
I don't mean to be rude here, but do you know how many times we were in the grocery store? And someone would come up to me and say, Graham, hey, how you doing? You know, Drake basketball, whatever. And my sweet girlfriend would be right next to me and they wouldn't say a word to her. And I felt
bad. Yeah, but you know how many times I would be walking with Becca Hittner and they would notice Hittner, not me? It's not you. It's just I wasn't that good. Oh. So I'm not worth remembering. It's not men's versus women's basketball.
I think it's easier to recognize with the beard, too. That's a giveaway.
That's awesome. No, that was good. That was the response I was looking for. So I appreciate it, guys. All right, Graham, what's Nicole's favorite movie?
She doesn't like movies. Okay. So she only likes two genres of movies. she thinks everything's scary other than Disney movies.
Okay.
And rom-coms. Everything else is scary to her. Everything. Comedies are scary to her. So
he asked a question.
Favorite. I know. I just wanted to preface that. Your favorite movie. Oh, she likes. What's it called? Princess Diaries. Is that what it is?
The one with
Lizzie McGuire. Is that right? Is that what it is?
That's not my favorite movie.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. She loves Disney movies. Maybe Inside Out. She loves Inside Out. That's one of her favorites.
That is a good movie.
But the older she liked, I can't remember what Nick, you know what I'm talking about. What's that one called? Tell me.
I don't know what you're talking about, but
with the three, the princess. It's the princess and then the three.
Cinderella Story?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. You like Cinderella Story. Yeah. Those are the two I'd say.
Nicole, what would you say is your favorite movie? I don't know if I got it out of it.
Yeah, you didn't. That was pretty pathetic. You could have just said
Cinderella Story. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't really have favorites. I don't have one specific favorite, I will say. I just don't.
Well, that kind of bails him out then. I mean, He wasn't wrong.
I just don't. Have like a favorite song. I don't really have like, I don't know. I don't. Depends on the time.
Okay. Well, we'll see then, because I got to get into some favorites here yet too. So hopefully
maybe Love and Basketball.
Ooh, there we go.
You've never. Okay, keep going.
I've watched it like 8 times.
Zero times with me.
You guys are living it. 6 years. You guys are living it, right? Loving basketball.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, Nicole. What was Graham's first car?
His first car was was it the Volkswagen? No, it was that red car. Yes. I don't know the specific name. Your sister drove it and then you got to drive it.
You know cars now since I've taught you cars. You don't remember?
A Jetta?
Yes. Nice job.
All right. How about that? So there you go. Point for Nicole. Nice job. First, either one of you guys can answer this. First trip you guys took away from basketball. You remember? What was the first trip you guys took?
Us two?
Yeah.
It was to State Fair. Is that right?
That's not a trip.
What's it? That's away from basketball.
Probably Florida.
Okay. There you go.
When we went after I graduated. We went to, flying in an airplane type trip. We went down to Florida. We went to Tampa, and then we drove down to Sanibel and stayed.
Oh, was that our first one? That was our first one.
Outside of, like, I mean, we've driven places, but I would say, like, long trip flying.
There you go. this is for both of you. What's the other person's favorite season?
Graham, you go first. What's my favorite season?
Summer. Go ahead. You can say I'm right. It's fine.
Yeah, sure.
What's Graham's then?
Graham's favorite season is fall.
Good job.
Hey, all right. Well, you guys are on the right path then. All right. This is for both of you. What does the other person talk about the most?
Graham, CrossFit, easy.
That is not true.
I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to get to that. I did hear the other day that CrossFit's kind of become a big thing for you, Graham. So I'm glad she brought that up. But
yeah, sure CrossFit has. For sure. Sometimes maybe I'm a close second, but never me ahead of CrossFit. Okay. I'm kidding. But no, he does love CrossFit.
All right, Graham, what does Nicole always talk about?
I mean, there are a few things. They're very consistent. How much
it's supposed to be rapid fire.
No, it's not. This is not rapid fire. How much she hates school. She says that all the time. How tired she
I don't hate school. It's just I am glad that I'm in PA school, but sometimes it's
what I'd say is what I'd say is it's more of a type of speech. Everything she says is extremely dramatic. Everything that comes out of her mouth. And that, I mean, and I have to take everything with a grain of salt, and then I have to, you know, process and say, okay, what is that, exactly does she mean here? And that's what I, you know, that's how I have to decipher that. But it's very, everything she says is very dramatic.
And I will tell you though, obviously that's not going to change. Being the spouse, you hear it all. You're going to keep hearing it, and you're going to hear the worst. And yep, yes, dear. Okay, hon.
Just like to make things exciting.
Yep.
Absolutely. Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
All right. So if the other person, okay, had $5 they could spend on, or sorry, $500 they could spend on anything, $500 they could spend on anything, what are they going to buy? And don't tell me frozen pizzas.
Graham will buy a new driver. Already went.
No, you. What's Graham going to buy? Not you.
Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, Graham would buy a new driver. Okay. Or good. Some sort of golf club. Oh, yeah, because golf is definitely second. I'm a third in terms of your last question. Oh. CrossFit golf, then me. Okay. So, yeah, some sort of new golf club. But he just broke his driver, so probably a new driver.
There you go.
I didn't. Okay. All right.
Is that true?
I didn't snap my driver. The head of it broke. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Would you buy a driver, though, if you had $500?
Odds are... right now I don't need a driver because I got a warranty on that one. So I can do
but a club.
But a club.
I'm there with you on that, Graham. I would spend that on golf stuff for sure.
I spend a lot on golf. Yeah, I've done that. Nick, so I mean, anything that has to do with clothes, she loves bathing suits. She'll buy Lulu easily, any Lululemon clothing. And she'll buy shoes. So, I mean, she buys about three things. She'll buy clothes, swimsuits, and shoes.
That's all right.
That's what she likes.
That's perfect. maybe you answered this, maybe you didn't. So if the other person could only eat one food for the rest of their life, what would it be?
You want me to go?
Sure.
She'd eat chips and dip.
No,
or frozen pizza, one of the two. Yeah,
pizza, not chips and dip. No chance.
I feel like pizza's a pretty easy out on that because it comes in so many different forms. Like you can get
pizza, thin crust pizza, thick crust pizza, stuffed crust pizza.
You can get barbecue chicken pizza. Yeah. You can get taco
pizza. Dessert pizza.
Yeah, see,
that's... no, it's true. I
you can probably eat healthy pizza.
The veggie pizza, there's that
cauliflower pizza.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shoot, might go on an all pizza diet.
There you go. But what's your pick for Graham? What's the one thing he would pick?
Only one single thing. Ooh, that's tough. This man eats anything and everything. Probably some sort of protein so he can stay strong. I know. Extra toasty Cheez-Its.
That, I mean, I couldn't survive on that, though. You could survive on pizza. What can I survive on?
A steak.
Okay. He's like, all right, I'll do that.
I'll eat a steak.
All right, who's more decisive?
That's her.
Okay. What?
You.
You think I'm more decisive?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Do you think I am?
Yeah. No. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, sorry, I had to think about that for a second.
Wow. That was not rapid fire.
Graham has to weigh all the options. And I'm like,
notice how, you know, when I went through, exactly, when I went through my recruiting process, took me forever. You, 20 minutes.
When he's answering your questions right now, taking him forever. You just gotta pick
I process. That's what I do.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, Nicole, finish this sentence for me. We are the complete opposite when it comes to.
We are the complete opposite when it comes to being focused.
I could see that.
To be.
just from this interview, I could tell you who's more focused going through this.
Who's more focused?
You.
Good answer. Graham, when I say like, hey, we're going to study. I really need to study. We're going to study for 4 hours. He's like, great. Okay. I'm going to get stuff done. And then I just can't focus for more than 5 minutes. It's just impossible.
She goes in a different room. I'm studying in my room every 15 minutes. I swear. Graham. Like, let me do my thing.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, obviously, just going through this interview, I don't think she's sat still yet on any of this.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. That's great. All right, Graham, what was Nicole's first job?
A camp counselor?
That doesn't count. My first real job.
A patient care tech?
That doesn't even count as a real job.
A patient care tech at the ER in Cedar Rapids when COVID was starting. So yeah, she had a tough job. Emergency hour. Yeah, 12-hour shifts, 3 times a week.
Yikes. That was really your first job?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I just played all the sports in high school, so I didn't have time for a job.
Her parents didn't make her kinda work.
In college, I didn't have time for a job, and then get into PA school.
High school. You didn't work at Dairy Queen or something in high school?
Didn't have a Dairy Queen in Walker. No, I did not. Yeah. But I had to work. I had to get like patient care hours to get into PA school. So after I graduated, I started working in the emergency department for a year before PA school started. First and only job.
There you go.
My next job, I'll be a PA.
There you go. And then you'll be working the rest of your life. So it's good that, you took your time getting there. I can definitely appreciate that. So, well, perfect, guys. I'll tell you what, it sounds like you're on the right path. You guys seem to know and understand each other. And so I'll be excited to hear how obviously the rest of the engagement and ultimately the wedding goes. But yeah, you guys are on the right path. And so with that, we always like to end here, Shooter's Touch, with rapid fire. We talked a little bit about it earlier. And so going through maybe a little more rapid, right, Nicole?
Yeah,
on these?
Some
dealing with basketball, some not. If you listen to the pod before, you kind of know what's coming. But let's start. We'll go both. I'll ask the question, and then let's just go in order. We'll go Nicole, and then Graham, you can wrap us up. But favorite visiting gym or arena that you had the opportunity to play in? We all love the Nap. We know that that's the best. But go on the road. Where was an arena that was either cool or you just liked the feel or the environment?
Missouri State.
At Penn State, it'd either be Indiana or Michigan State.
No, those are good ones. Yeah, that's it's hard to Bloomington or Lansing to go against that. Mm-hmm. But we ask this question a lot, but hopefully it actually fits you two even better than most. But what's the best pizza in Des Moines?
Papa Kino's.
Is that a thing anymore?
I think they closed. Must not have been that great.
Fong's.
That's a good answer. I know that if with it on campus now, it maybe feels a little bit like an easy out, but that's a good answer, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's the garlic or the garlic honey. I forget. Honey garlic. Yeah, it's really good.
They're my little guy got baptized a few weeks ago, and we went straight Fong's Pizza, got a bunch of them, and had a lot of people from out of town. We had the Crab Ragoons going. Mm-hmm. People are like, this Crab Ragoon pizza is the best pizza I've ever had.
Yeah.
So
unreal.
Can't go wrong with that. But all right, another Shooter's Touch favorite. What's your favorite basketball shoe?
That I've worn?
Yeah.
I don't really know the name of it.
Oh my god.
But I wore the Adidas James Harden ones, right, Graham?
Okay.
Those are comfy. They didn't give me shin splints, so I guess those.
Is this any time throughout your career? Is that the question?
Yeah. You don't have to stick with those Adidas that you had to wear at Drake's.
My favorite, although I did like the Adidas. I like Dame Lillard's shoe. Jordan 19s.
Ooh.
There's like the silver front on them. I don't know if you know your Jordans, but yeah, I wore quite a few Jordans when I was younger. But I like those 19s a lot. They're cool looking.
So quick little backstory. So I actually, yes, very much a sneakerhead. So I have actually 1 through 23 of the Jordans in multiple colorways, but the 18s and the 19s. So the 19s are ones that for whatever reason I never did end up getting, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
That means he thinks they're ugly.
No, they're
a different looking shoe, but yeah.
It was
Graham,
more...
which ones do you have? Graham has collects them too.
I have 1 through 13.
Okay. See, and that's where the money's at. Cause so I have a tough time because I don't, the Wizard era ones I have a tough time with because I try to ignore those years a little bit. Yeah. And then I also try to stick to colorways in which that he wore. And so that's the other side of it. But it's a bad addicting habit, that's for sure.
I love me some shoes as well.
But gotta always ask that question on the pod. Right, so favorite sports movie. We talked a little bit about movies. Nicole, I know this might be a little bit tougher because you're not a huge movie person, but sports specific movie. What's your favorite sports movie?
Love and Basketball or Remember the Titans.
Ooh, okay. Love and Basketball hasn't made the pod yet, so I like that. Remember the Titans comes up often. That's a good one. So
it's a good one.
I would say Remember the Titans or Miracle.
Yeah. See, there's that little bit of that hockey bias coming in Minnesota.
I mean, that movie just that hits all the emotions and everything. I love it.
That's a good one. All right, best place to eat in your hometown. Walker, what do we got?
Well, we have one restaurant, and a gas station. So you either got Casey's or Kula's Bar and Grill. So I'm gonna have to go with Kula's. It's actually very good.
That's not fair.
I like that. That's what I want.
Easy choice.
Yeah, I want these local spots. So if I'm ever heading up
it's good.
North Lynn area, I'm gonna head into Walker. So all right, Graham, what about you? What do you guys got up there? Probably a few more choices.
Yeah, there's
only a few.
one that I really like. There's a few that I like. It's called Punch Pizza. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like a they have the Stone Fire pizza, whatever you call it. But yeah, it cooks at 800 degrees and it's like this very Italian, classical Italian pizza. It's very different than what you would expect, but it's really good.
So Edina is also home to the original Pancake House, right? And that's not like it's like the original Pancake House, like it's the original one.
It's
right?
Good.
That's one man. I didn't even think about that one.
I thought you were gonna say that we one. Would,
I forgot. Yeah, me and my parents, we would go, and my sister, we'd go. I think it might have been every Sunday, maybe after church when I was younger, and we did it for a few years. And it's good food. 49ers are what you got to eat. 49ers are the slim flapjacks. Ooh, they're unbelievable.
So kind of crazy enough, I was actually coming back from a wedding up in St. Cloud, and I think we stayed down that way for whatever reason. Anyway, my wife and I, we Googled where to get breakfast on our way out of town, and that's where we ended up. And it was a home run. And so
well done.
Yeah, I'll go back there any day. But all right, couple more. What was the best thing about being a Drake Bulldog?
This is supposed to be short. Graham, you can go first.
The people I met, the experiences I had, my fiance down here that I met. The community, the people, relationships I'll have for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I would echo Graham. I mean, I think Drake is like a super special place. And it's because of my experience that I had. And I think going back to just like what Jenny had, like that vision that she had when I was sitting in her office in high school, and it like seeing how it all played out, it was like more than I could have ever dreamed of. I mean, I met my best friends, I met my soon to be husband. I still keep in touch with everyone. And just like every time I think back to Drake, I just have like the biggest smile on my face because it was such a great experience. Obviously we won a lot of basketball games and that was great. We did a lot of things that have never been done, but like even more so, it was just such a great and valuable experience. I learned a lot, prepared me for my life to come as a PA in just a lot of different ways. So yeah, just a lot of great lessons that I learned, a lot of great people. And like Grim said, we got to go a lot of cool places as well.
That's
Nick. That was rapid fire. So
that was quick. That was really quick. I could talk for 45 minutes.
that means you made the right decision, and that's great. So, all right. So two here's to get you out on. One, what are you looking most forward to with your wedding?
I would say just like, obviously getting married, and marriage will be so fun in and of itself. But just like, it's like one day that all the people that you love so much get to be like in the same room and celebrate you. So I'm just like really looking forward to having family and friends from everywhere just like come back together. I mean, our engagement, like he said, was like a little taste of that. Like our really close friends were there. So I would just say just being to be able to like reconnect with everyone, especially in 2023, it'll be kind of a while away. So I would say that.
I was going to say the exact same thing, is having, you know, I said it before, Drake, the relationships, but yeah, the people you love, the people you know the best, you're able to, you know, just be with them and celebrate one of the most special times in your life, you know, with the love of your life. And then wherever it may be, it doesn't really matter as long as you have the people you love around you.
One piece of advice that I'll give for you guys that you'll probably hear 100 times between now and that day is just enjoy it. It doesn't matter if things go right, wrong, different, whatever it is. As you mentioned, Nicole, they're there for you. And if you can soak in and enjoy as much of it as possible, because it goes in a blink of an eye, and it's definitely a lot of fun. So like I said a couple of times now, we'll be anxious to hear how everything shakes out with you guys on that, and obviously wishing you the best of luck. But before I get you out of here, appreciate your time, but I got to know, what does it mean to have the shooter's touch?
Oof. Nick, you're first.
Well, you're asking the wrong person. In practice?
Well, I do have to say something. It's okay. It may be the best podcast name I've ever heard.
Oh, okay. We appreciate that.
Yeah. The shooter's touch. Well, I have it, right, Nick? I mean, I just have it. Now, what I'd say is you have it, when you shoot the basketball, you should shoot it and not try to aim it. And what I think about is when you just shoot it, usually it just comes off your hand and it rolls right off your hand. And depending on what happens when it gets to the rim, doesn't matter. If it goes in, great. If it doesn't, having the shooter's touch is that's what I would say. Is you know, I'm not sure what I'm saying right now, but that's what I'd say is nice smooth touch and nice that's all I got. Hello. Go ahead, Nick.
What do you got for me, Nicole?
Oh my gosh. I don't know how to follow that. That was incredible.
That was good.
Well, you either got it or you don't. And wait, what was even the question? What does it mean to have a shooter's touch?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, in rec league that I've been playing, pickup, it feels pretty dang good to have the shooter's touch. But no other than
what's that. What's it mean, though?
What's it mean? I don't know. It means that I'm a little baller.
Baller for life.
And it also means that I am going to beat Graham and Horse and all of my children and Horse for the rest of my life. Because once you got it, you don't lose it.
She just evaded the whole question. It's fine.
Hey, That's all right. I mean, shooter stats, you guys both touched on it. I mean, it's putting that time in the gym and getting lucky, you know, right? You work hard, the luckier you get. And that's what we like to think of having the shooter's touch. But we also here at the shooter's touch, we like bringing good people together to talk basketball. And you guys did that with me tonight. And so I appreciate it. I appreciate your time. It was fun to get your story on tape and hear a little bit more and learn a little bit more about you guys. And so thank you. Best of luck with school and everything moving forward. We'll be definitely following your journey and keeping up a little bit as we can as we go through. And again, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on the Shooter's Touch with us. Cause I'm right in my mind, hustling harder than ever before. Saying I change cause I like when I shine. The diamonds hit different like Mike in his prime. I got the shooter's touch, yeah. Can't nobody ball like me. Blue face, hunters on hunters on hunters. That's really all.